Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and I'm joined by today's co-host, wardrobe stylist, mom, and brutally honest friend, Casey Bixby.
Oh my God.
Are you brutally honest, though?
I think you are. But I like that about you.
I'm going to bring the heat.
The pressure,
Lisa.
Okay, good.
You have spinach in your teeth.
No,
I'm just...
I was actually just eating spinach. I probably do.
I'm just saying, Casey's that brutally honest friend. That would tell you if you had
spinach. Did you see how that joke went over my head?
Yeah, that's okay.
That's the place I'm in right now, guys.
It's not you. It's my jokes.
Yeah, okay.
We missed you. You're away for a while. But you really pioneered all the early informed pregnancy podcasts. We would not be where we are today.
Thanks.
Without that solid foundation. And now you got a kid. How old's yours?
Almost three.
That's so nuts. It's a whole different perspective.
Whole different. I was pregnant when
we were pregnant,
doing it before.
So it must have been like 3 years ago.
And then some.
Our guest today is a mother of two, blogger, and also dabbles in acting. And just kidding. But if I read all your... your acting credits and accolades. I didn't want to embarrass
you. I had many to list.
No, I just like had my publicist send it over and you're like, oh,
no, not that. I just, in general, you're everywhere.
Oh my God, no.
You're everywhere.
But she sent you this whole thing. I was like, ew, no, don't send that. That's embarrassing.
Well, it's good to know. You know what I found out from there?
What?
Berlin syndrome.
Hello. I did that on purpose.
That's
really
kind of you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Good. It's all about you.
I'm touched.
It's a little creepy.
It's an homage.
It's an homage to Dr. B.
But there was, I mean,
it's about
everybody's
talking
about that Hacksaw Ridge movie.
They were. They were talking about it.
Nominated for an Oscar award. How was that? Did you, you went, I assume.
I did, yeah.
How was that moment?
It was really surreal. It was great, actually. It was really great. It was my birthday. It's my 31st birthday.
Oh, you're
that
kidding.
Day. I was like, this is really rad. But I was definitely the loser that kept thinking we were going to be late for the ceremony. So everyone's just kind of standing outside the auditorium talking. And I was like, guys, I really want to make sure I get a seat. and people just thought I was being such an idiot. But I ran into the auditorium just to make sure I wasn't late for anything. I didn't miss anything. And I was the only person in there. I was like sitting in my seat, the only person. It was completely empty. But the guy was like, the show's going to start in 1 minute. I was like, where is everyone?
Oh,
it was like I was being punked
to,
or something.
Rally that crowd.
Yeah.
Have you been before? Was that your first time? That was your first time?
No, who knows if I'll ever get to go again.
You definitely
but
get
it
to
was
go again. I'll bet my
amazing.
Last dollar.
You'll be but back. You also yeah. had, she has a good like story about her setup at the Golden Globes. That
oh,
I
re- gosh.
That was
yeah.
awesome.
I had to borrow Sarah Wright Olsen's nanny.
You had to borrow her?
I was like, I had to borrow her. I was like, do you mind if I have her for the night? Because I had just had a baby 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had just flown in the day before, and it was the Golden Globes, and you were breastfeeding.
Oh, you didn't
and
have
I was
a nanny.
Breastfeeding, and sorry?
You didn't have a nanny.
No.
Because you just came back.
We don't have a nanny. Yeah. Wow. And so I was like, can I borrow her? And she's like, yeah, for sure. So Sonia sat in a hotel room across the street with my little baby, and in the ad breaks, yeah, I would race over, rip off my dress, breastfeed, and then Sonia would have to get me back into the dress, which
was
very challenging because I had just had a baby and it was a corset and everything was trying to get sucked in, and it was great. I mean, it was chaotic.
I wish there was Facebook Live video of you dashing back and forth.
It's funny that I didn't think to pump.
Right.
Like, I should have just gone and bought a pump. Would have been fine. He hadn't had a bottle yet.
Right,
I just
he was only
didn't
3 weeks old.
I know, so I didn't know if he would take it. And
you also didn't really have time to do any of that.
I really didn't have time. I got in the day before, and then I didn't even know what dress I was wearing, so I had to go straight
from
the airport.
Did any part of you think about just breastfeeding at the Golden Globes?
I
like
actually
leaving
asked,
the baby at
guys,
her feet.
Don't worry. I asked. I was like, is there any chance at all? Just like a backstage area. They were like, absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. They haven't come around yet.
No. I mean, maybe if I was presenting or if I was ever lucky enough to be nominated, they might kind of bend over backwards for a breastfeeding mother.
I think
mother,
it's
going to
happen with Berlin Syndrome.
Berlin Syndrome. That's it.
That's got to be a winner.
The magic name in there.
Berlin Syndrome. And the winner is Berlin Syndrome. Oh, no, it's Moonlight.
Oh, God. Do you know what I seriously thought, guys? I know this sounds awful, but so imagine sitting there and all of a sudden people are whispering and guys rush onto the stage. I thought something crazy was going down.
Oh.
Right.
I was like, we gotta get out of here now. There are guns in the building. So I like had already been looking for the exits. And I was like, I need to rush outside. I gotta get out of here. I didn't care about anyone else. Of course, I was like, I need to get to my babies. Wow. And then they were like, sorry, we got the wrong person. I was like, oh, thank God.
Okay, so you came into the auditorium first one.
I know.
And you left the auditorium.
And then I was about to leg it out of there. It was just so bizarre to see that kind of chaos in front of you, and no one knew what was going on. People were just turning around, saying, "Did that just happen? Are we getting punked? Is this
so
a part
wild.
Of the show? Like,
but it was
what
like the
going
last
on?
Bit, right?
And it then was the it was very over. Last bit. Yeah. It was so funny though because everyone made such a big deal about it, and then after about 30 minutes, people were like, "Well." You know, it's not the end of the world. Like, we are at the Oscars. Everyone's fine. Everyone's going to go home happy. It's
right.
not like the end. People were treating it as though
it's the end of the world.
Literally, the biggest thing in the entire world just happened.
But everybody has already done that. I mean, Steve Harvey did it with Miss Universe. Miss.
Oh, USA. God, that's right. He was probably stoked, by the way. He was like, thank God.
Yeah.
The attention's off of me.
And James Comey did it with the election. And so it's not like it was brand new. People have been doing that for years. Anyway, it wasn't him. It was the Russians.
I know. I gave you a little giggle. Did you hear that?
Thank you.
Yeah, I gave you a little giggle. It went over her head, I think.
I mean,
echoed in the background.
Yeah, that's all it really deserved. That was gratuitous, actually. Thank you. You're on our little series with called Your Zen Mama with Sarah.
Yes.
Who's your cohort at Your Zen Mama.
Yeah.
Which is a parenting platform, lifestyle platform. And at that time, Sarah was literally about to pop
Burst.
With her second baby.
We thought she might go into labor while
at,
we were
hoping.
It.
Which would not
that
be the
been...
first time that's happened.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's right.
Who, that was with Anna?
Mm-hmm.
Anna? Oh, that's very
literally
exciting.
Had the baby 2.5 hours after
that. I left the podcast. I picked up food. I ate my food. And by the time I looked at my phone, I had a message from Anna's husband that she had given birth.
Right. It was that quick.
Like, I ate salmon and you had a baby in the same amount of time.
And I mean, the crazy thing, she was here as a guest and her OB was here
yeah,
as
he's
a
with
guest.
Us.
Kind of perfect. On the way home, she's like, hey, can we just like make a pit stop after the hospital?
Yeah, they literally went home for a minute to get her stuff, went to the hospital, and
oh
there was no
gosh.
Time for anything.
It's amazing. What a nice, fast birth.
I even adjusted Sarah at that last podcast, super pregnant.
That's right, yeah.
But it wouldn't come out. So she went on and had her baby, and she came back, and she talked about it on another episode called Labor Day Surprises, the surprise being the 11-pound Esme.
yeah.
I don't think anybody was expecting that.
She was a biggin.
She was big.
That girl knows how to birth, though. I mean, she has a glorious vagina. The fact that she can birth those babies.
Oh, that big?
Everything.
Yeah,
and
not tear.
I wasn't
she
surprised
tear.
At all.
She doesn't.
You
that's
weren't
the
surprised?
Thing. Teresa and I saw the first one come out. I knew this one would be bigger.
But how
bigger
does she, like,
better.
How does her vagina do it? I just don't get it. No tears, nothing.
No tears. That was.
She's just.
She
you know,
she's a magic vagina.
She has
for
a magic
sure.
vagina.
I really have nothing to add to that conversation.
Hashtag
you
magic
must be
vaginas.
Right. Yeah. I like hashtags.
It's a nice compliment.
It is. I would love to have a magic vagina.
Magicvagina.com.
Great.
She's an amazing birther in general.
Yeah.
And then
yes.
she's surrounded herself with like really great support and
really, yeah, I mean, I would definitely.
Casey, her best friend, is like, definitely, especially her best friend.
Her best friend,
in the world
Casey.
Is,
yeah,
that is amazing.
I'm really fond of her team the first time around, too.
Yeah, I think so.
It was
well, she
her,
would not yeah. let that 11 pounder slide until you were in the building.
It's true.
That is true. Didn't you miss it by just.
I was there when she came out, but I was so. I didn't want to. I was there, but and they knew I was there, but it was a whole thing.
Yeah, she came,
and I think they like intercommed in as
oh, yes,
literally.
In the
I think as Esme was, you were there.
I was there. Yeah,
yeah I think they intercommed right. in right as Esme was coming out. Was like Casey's here, and they're all like, no.
But that wasn't Sarah that said no.
No.
It was like the nurses
else,
and
I'm
everyone
sure.
else.
Sarah was probably like, yes.
Yeah.
Then, that's okay.
I mean, you ran in, Esme ran out.
Oh, my gosh. That's really
it was like
sweet.
Perfect timing. Anyway, so Sarah was on our last podcast, 9 months pregnant. You were 5 months pregnant.
Yeah.
We had talked about your initial birth situation where labor started and then your water
started,
broke.
Then stopped, then started, then stopped.
Right.
Yeah, water broke. Yeah, I had pre-ruptured membranes with Bodhi. And then just like never. And I remember I had to drink the castor oil and it just was like, it just like putted along. I finally got to 10 centimeters, but then everything stopped at that point. Just so strange. Now I've had my second birth. I was like,
now, that's what I want to talk about. I left you and you're like not even sure where you're going to give birth and with like which continent and and who on your
which country.
So what happened? Catch us up.
So Australia was the chosen country, the winner. No surprises there. I just bought that house in Adelaide and my husband and I decided when we got there, it was great, but it didn't really feel like ours because I had bought it off my dad. So at 37 weeks pregnant, I was like, we're renovating. Mark's like, what are you doing? And so I would ring the painters and the plumbers and everyone myself and be like, hey, just so you know, I'm, you know, 37 and a half weeks pregnant. I could have a baby any day. Please, can you come? Please, please, please. So I would personally beg these guys to come and they'd work all day and bring extra dues just to get it done so that... we pretty much had everything. I mean, we really changed the place
were
in 3 weeks.
Were you living in there while they did
that?
That
is incredible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were all sleeping.
That's a little transition.
Out in the lounge area together, a bunch of us, my mom as well.
Oh, wow.
And we totally changed the house in 3 weeks and got it ready. And about 5 days after it was finished, my son came.
Wow,
but,
5 days.
Yeah, the birth was... Oh, you know what?
At
what's
home.
Really interesting?
You gave birth at home?
No, I almost did. What was really interesting was that Bodhi came 2 weeks early. So then you have that false narrative in your head that, oh, my first came early, my second will definitely come early or earlier than my first.
Right.
So I hit 38 weeks and I'm thinking any day now. And then I hit 39 weeks, 40 weeks. And now I'm like 40 weeks plus 3 days. Mm. And everyone is texting me. Everyone's like, is he here yet?
That's the worst.
What's the news? Like, call me when you're in labor. Why hasn't he come? I was like, what? And I gotta say, your mind is just spinning. I think when you hit 40 weeks, especially for me, my mind was spinning. I was trying everything I could to not start bugging out about inductions. And in Australia, it's a little bit different. They say, I was birthing in a birth center, and my midwife said, we legally can let you go over it by 10 days. So if you haven't... So I had this date looming over me and I knew that this Friday I would have to, they were going to break my water bag. I mean, there was a certain group of things that they were going to do before they actually had to give me Pitocin. But I was just stressing out over the possibility of being induced because I wanted a natural birth and I wanted things to go differently from how it went with my son Bodhi. As beautiful as that birth was, I just was looking for a different experience. So... I had a lot of anxiety, and then I remember I was Skyping with my stepson's mama, and I walked away to go have a bath, and I heard her say, when's the baby coming? And she was maybe the fifth person that morning who had said that.
Right.
And I started bawling my eyes out. It was about 9 a.m. Started bawling my eyes out. I went and sat in the bath, and then sure enough, half an hour later, I was like, oh, that felt a little bit different.
Oh, really?
And then I just started contracting kind of regularly. I started timing it and it was about every 4.5 minutes. And so I got out of the bath and I said to Mark, oh, I think this might be it. And I had one of those contraction timers. So I was timing my contractions, and I realized that there was some consistency. And my sister, I texted my sister and I was like, oh, I think it's happening. She rang me and I had to hang up during contractions. I couldn't be on the phone with her. And this was just within 30 minutes. Mm. So then I could tell Mark was like, oh, this is really happening. He said, why don't you take Bodhi, go walk the property? We have 10 acres of land. So I was like, all right, Bodhi, you and I are going to go on a walk. And I was leaning on trees in the middle of these contractions and my son didn't know what was going on and I really started to vocalize. And so he was vocalizing with me and we're on all fours vocalizing. And then I realized I have to get back to the house because now we've walked, you know, 5 minutes up the hill. We're in some major bushland and there's like bull ants running over us. Like my son's crying, got bitten by a bull ant and I'm like laboring in the middle of these contractions.
I don't even know what a
bull
ant is.
A bull ant. Yeah, big ouchie bull ant, as he calls them, ouchie bull ants.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby. Not even diaper rash.
So they bite. They're not poisonous or anything, but my son's, you know, Bodhi's very afraid of them. So I'm like holding him, he's screaming and contracting. And I was like, this is probably not the best idea.
But different experience, which is what you want.
But like completely different. Yeah. And just, they just were happening to my body and I had no control, which I loved. I just had to give over to the sensations that were coming. And they felt really strong. So by the time I got back, I could see my mum. I had planned to have my mum nowhere near me because she's the biggest worrywart in the world. And I could just see her face like, ooh. She was just in the corner like, Teresa, maybe you should go to the hospital. And I was like, please someone get her away from me. I can't deal with her stress right now. And so it had been 45 minutes. I jump in the shower. I'm on the birthing ball. And I have this contraction, probably my second contraction in the shower. That scared me. So it was so powerful. And I hadn't even been in labor for an hour. And I was like, whoa, that was intense. Like I started feeling my breath quickening. And I was like, wow, these are very, very strong. And I got afraid. So I knew that wasn't working for me being in the ball in the shower, which was working for me first time round. It was my favorite place to labor. So I jumped in the bath. My husband had put water in the bath for me so I could go between the shower and the bath. So he was busy packing a bag and on the phone to my doula. And I get in the bath and I'm timing them. And my app is like, all right, time to go to the hospital.
Oh,
and
the every app says that?
Yeah, the app's like, definitely time. Like, pack the bag,
get in the car, go.
And I just ignore it because I'm like, what? I'm only an hour into labor. My first labor was 28 hours. There's no way I need to go to the hospital yet. Cut to my doula has somehow got here within 10 minutes. She's also a paramedic. Uh-huh. And she watches me through two contractions. And I see her run out of the bathroom. And I don't know where she's gone, but I'm just there alone. And I guess Mark had decided to go and have a shower.
Oh, no.
He was like in the shower. He was there for 30 minutes. Oh, and little did I know that Kat, who's one of my best friends, had run up and physically pulled him out of the shower. And she was like, I am not doing a roadside delivery. Get in the car now. We need to get her in the car. And so then I noticed the app was saying, call an ambulance, call an ambulance. And I was like, no. So we mustn't be that far along. Let's just ignore it. And then finally Kat came bursting in and I was doing a lot of low moans. But it didn't feel too intense. Only that one in the shower did. And she was like, all right, we're going to go to the hospital right now. Out the bath. Out we go.
Wow.
So I just, they basically yanked me out of the bath, chucked clothes on me, and then I was on all fours crawling to the car. And she said that I get in the car, and I don't really remember this, but I'm in the car and I've got a flannel over my face, which you'd call a face washer, I guess, here in America. I have one over my face and I'm just kind of making noises, and my doula's rubbing one on my belly, and then Mark is driving the wrong way. And Kat, I hear Kat turn around and she's like, what are you doing? That's not the way to the hospital. And so I rip the flannel off my face and I yell at him, this video of me saying, use the GPS. You know, my American husband navigating the back roads of the Adelaide Hills. Oh, has no idea where he's driving. He didn't memorize it the way he thought he did. So we're off in somewhere. We don't even know where we are at this point. And Kat's like, this baby's coming. We got to get there.
Kat, the app is like, cut the cord.
I know. Like, oh, the baby's here. Anyway, so we finally get there after a couple more wrong turns. And Kat's yelling at my husband nicely. But she, little did I know, she had actually texted her paramedic friends to say, we're going to be doing a roadside delivery. This is where we're at. You know, bring me an ambulance to this place. And I, as we pulled up to the hospital, my water broke all over the rental car. And I was like, oh no, the Audi seats. I was like, they're going to be so mad at me. I know. And I said to Kat, still, by the way, I'm in denial. I still think that maybe I've got like three more hours to go. I said to Kat, I think when we get there, I should get checked. I'm going to ask to get checked. And Kat's like, you don't need to get checked. This baby is 2 minutes away from coming. I promise. You're far along enough. You don't need to get checked. And then I get there. My midwife is there. She doesn't have a wheelchair. She said she couldn't get one. So they walk me down a hallway to the birth center. It's a 5-minute walk in the hospital to the birth center.
Oh my God.
So my body starts just...
Whose planning was that?
She was calling everyone left, right, and center, like, I need a chair. And so then my body, which I didn't feel the first time around, so it was really exciting to feel it this time, it just started pushing. My body just started doing it. And once my water broke at 10 centimeters dilated, I could feel his head, and I was like, this is gnarly. This feeling has completely changed, and it was pressure. Right. It was just so much pressure. So every few steps, I'd be pushing in the hallway of the hospital. She's like, please just wait. We're almost there. And finally, we get a wheelchair, and she sprinted me down the hallway. I dropped everything off and I jumped in the water. And honestly, three pushes later, he was out. And it was just so quick. I got in there. And like you, actually, one of my best friends, Claire, she arrived right as I was pushing the baby out. And my birth photographer never made it. Bodhi never made it to the birth. I wanted my son to be there. He was still driving to the hospital, but I had already given birth. What was different with this birth was it was a water birth, so it felt incredibly
It was a water birth by a
different.
Minute.
Yeah, by a minute, honestly. I thought I wasn't going to get my water birth. But I got in the water and instantly the pressure was gone and it felt so soothing and relaxing and warm, and it's just the warm water just held me, and my husband jumped in. My midwife was phenomenal. I really slowed down that pushing process because with Bodhi I tore, and I had just 3 days earlier in my anxiety-ridden state of when is this baby going to come, I had watched every Ina Mae Gaskin YouTube lecture available.
Oh.
I had just watched one on not tearing, and she had said that when you feel the baby crowning, to alternate between horse lips and panting like a dog. So I would alternate my breathing between those two things, and it completely slowed. I basically breathed the baby out as opposed to pushed him out. So his head just slowly came out, and there was a point where I felt there was a lot of pressure. And I said to the midwife, I think I'm going to tear. And she said, all right, change positions, get on all fours. So we changed positions, and instantly the pressure was relieved, and he just slipped out. As soon as I got in that position, he just came out into my arms. And then, of course, I sobbed crying because I was just in shock. I had no idea I could have a birth like that.
Right.
And that it could be so fast. And it really did go by the book. My dream birth, everything I had always wanted, it had just happened. So I was so grateful and overwhelmed and emotional. And I just couldn't believe it. I just kept staring at Mark. Did that just happen? Yeah, so it was
the way you tell
amazing.
It, you almost feel like you're there. Like, I'm getting weepy-eyed.
Listening
to you talk about it.
I was like, I love you so much. I was just crying and crying. But one little scary thing did happen, though, which was he came out on my chest and I was staring at him. We were so in love, but he was in shock. And so I guess the midwife explained it as sometimes when a baby comes down the birth canal that fast, they're in shock when they enter. They come through the water, they get pulled out, they don't let out the big cry, and he's just shell-shocked. So he was so quiet on my body, and he was breathing and everything was okay, but he wasn't doing the loud cry that they like to see. And so my midwife, who was so beautiful, Julie, she mentioned to Kat, my paramedic doula and best friend, can you go get one of the baby doctors out there, but don't press the panic button. Just go get one of the baby doctors just to come and check him. And so she didn't even take him off me. She was just kind of watching him. And then he dipped out for about 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. He just kind of went floppy.
Oh,
and
wow.
So she was like, breathe in his face, just blow in his face really hard. I did that. He came to again, and then he dipped out again. And then I blew on his face again. He came to, and then the baby doctor had come in. And so my midwife was like, do you mind, you know, the cord has stopped pulsating. Do you mind if we cut the cord and take him over just to give him an extra look?
Right.
Because his nostrils were flaring.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that can be a sign of distress.
Mm-hmm.
So they cut the cord and took him over there. They took him over there for about 3 minutes while I got out of the bath and proceeded to just go on the bed. And he was fine. I could tell because the color just came into him instantly and I saw the pink. So I knew he was fine. And also my friend Kat, who was there, was over with him, and so was my husband. They're like, he's fine, everything's fine, nothing to worry about. But still, that was the one moment you're in the middle of elation.
Yeah.
And someone's wait a second.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
But what a bipolar experience.
Exactly. But I guess intuitively I knew it was okay because I didn't panic. And I think when I look back on it and I reflect, I could have easily gone into such a panicked state at that moment. But I knew he was okay. I just knew it. And I think it was just how rapidly he came out. It pulled him out of the water.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Those big changes. I mean, I remember I was at a birth not too long ago, and she just had a ton of fluid.
Right.
And when her water broke, it wasn't a little trickle. It was a giant gush. Mm. It was like snorkel worthy.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a lot of fluid. And the baby freaked out for like 4 minutes. Just the heart rate went down, didn't recover. And they were getting her all prepped up to run into an emergency cesarean. By the time they got there, she was okay again. And the doctor was like, let's monitor if you want to keep going for a vaginal birth. Let's monitor. And he recovered totally. Oh, but it was like that. Wow.
How nice that the doctor would be like, wait, well, let's try for that vaginal birth.
That's Jay Goldberg.
Of course.
Not too many people like that.
Of course.
That's what you want. That's what you described the first time you wanted.
Oh, my gosh. And it was, I honestly had pictured what my birth would look like. In my head, it was more like 6 hours, not 3 hours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and just... The sensations just felt totally different. Everything. And by the way, Forrest is a...
How big was he?
Really different baby. 8 pound 4.
Oh, 8'4".
Yeah. Tears this time.
How big was Bodie?
8 pounds.
Okay.
Eight pounds 2 weeks early Bodie was, so.
All right.
It was kind of big.
So about, yeah, I mean, about the same.
A similar-ish size. But the recovery was just so much easier this time too. And... the tear really was challenging the first time around, but I did really feel...
Did you not tear?
No. Not with Forrest. No, because I had done that breathing, and that
Wait,
really helped
horse
slow
lips?
It down.
Like...
yeah, and then... so I would just go between those two.
I was, as you said that first, I was like, what is horse lips?
Oh, yeah.
But then I thought about it. It must be that.
That.
Me too, but I wanted to circle back and be sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you're
Do you know I've told a bunch of girls about that?
The horse lips pantomime.
Since. Yeah, and I've had a lot of great feedback. I actually talked about it on your Zen Mama. It's like, guys, you got to try this. Don't freak out during the pushing stage. Don't just rush through it. Like, really
I'm gonna try it
take
next
your
time.
I'm
dueling a birth, and I'm going to be like, wait, try the horse lips.
Just try the horse
now,
lips. Try
pant a little bit. Back to horse lips.
I just sat back and forth.
You know, you Came know
on. How... It's good too, it probably makes you laugh a little bit.
It
helps too.
Yeah. I think that's how it works. Yeah. You just smile and open up here and open there.
Yeah.
You know how many... birth Zyname has done, and for her to figure out that combination.
I know.
It could have been any animal on the planet, but it was horse lips and then
the
cat
dog
and dog panting.
Yeah.
The alternate.
And it was good because I did watch it 2 days before I gave birth, and she just came into my head at that moment. I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. But it was nice because I had, you know, with Bodhi, I had someone being like, push. 3, 2, 1, push. So it was directed pushing with Bodhi, and it was different. And also the other wonderful thing about this was I had no back labor. My baby wasn't posterior. Bodhi was posterior.
Yeah.
And so when my doctor turned Bodhi in my first birth, that's when I split, was when he manually had to change the position of him. So it was just such a beautiful experience. And then the afterbirth stuff was so easy. My placenta came out on its own. So
Thank
easy.
God.
I know. I was waiting for, I was like, oh gosh, is this going to be the one thing?
Have it removed last time?
Yeah, I had a manual extraction last time. Oh, and they say that 70%, there's 70% chance that'll happen again.
If it happens once, it'll
if
happen again.
Once, which is why I chose a birth center as opposed to a home birth.
About the third one?
What? Which one?
I don't know.
Third one. You know what? I loved this experience so much that I think I'm going to birth with the same midwife and have the same team, have my doula / paramedic.
Yeah, but you're going to have to listen to the app.
The app.
I'm just saying about the timing.
I know. I was like, stupid app. It's just an app. Who made this thing? Doesn't know what it's talking about.
Let us take a break for a minute, and then we will come right back with Casey Bixby and Teresa Palmer. You're listening to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. Visit us online at informedpregnancy.com, and don't forget to come back for part two with Teresa Palmer.
I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.